Hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I am here with Brian, you can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Chris, you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. Damien is busy this week, so he will not be on, but he will be back next week. Let's see, our number one for the week was
American Monster.
American Monster on Aftershock Comics by Brian Azzarello and Juan Doe.
That is his real name.
John Doe.
Pretty good, right?
That's pretty good. I'm kind of jealous.
It's not bad.
And let's see, our over-under for the week is DC comic books from New 52 to current. So be prepared for awesomeness on that front.
Exciting.
Yes. Also, Let's see. Don't forget to head over to reviewandroast.com to check out our movie reviews, comic reviews, book reviews, TV show reviews. We're actually getting some, we're getting pretty big time over there. So, you know, enjoy it while you can because we're going to blow up pretty soon. And then, you know, we're probably going to be on TV or something. And who knows what's going to happen.
Check out TMZ brought to you by Review and Roast.
Ew. No. Has anyone else kept going with Seduction of the Innocent?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I have 2 and 3. I still have to read them, though.
Now that's the weird thing, because I read 2 and 3 yesterday, and when I picked up 2 and started reading again, I'm like, dude, what the hell happened in number 1? I don't remember this story at
number
all.
Number 1 ended with the two guys sitting at the kitchen table in that cabin with the portrait of Hitler above the table.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep.
No, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying I don't remember the first issue.
And then the second one was where the cop from Cleveland that's got the nightmares and the new baby was following them into, like, the Japanese tea garden.
Right, because that's where the kids were hiding.
Right, and then this third one.
Well, Chris hasn't read them yet. I don't want to get too into detail of what happened.
Right,
I'm just saying, like, I do not remember at all. But, I mean, I like what I'm reading. I like the, you know, what I'm seeing. I just don't remember the first issue.
It's very Naked City, which is kind of what's making me like it. Not that I'm like the biggest connoisseur of Naked City, but I'm familiar with the premise.
Well, you know, you've always been a big nudist, so.
Naked City was an old noir series in the 50s on TV, back when TV was
TV.
When it was TV and not Hulu.
Yeah, outside of that, nothing really stood out for me this week, but I also didn't do a ton of reading, but I had to watch Man of Steel, which is going to be on our other podcast, which is coming out on Friday, so don't forget to check that out too. But I will pass it along to Mr. Brian right now.
Woo. I finally finished the Sherlock Holmes novel by Arthur Conan Doyle called The Valley of Fear, and it was okay. It was my first foray into the Sherlock Holmes literary world, and probably, I would guess, not the place to start, but I don't know. I just happened to grab it. I didn't actually know it was a Sherlock Holmes novel when I got it, so. If anybody's read any Sherlock Holmes that
they
really
say it on the cover?
No, it said A.C. Doyle as the author, and it just didn't register until I already got it home.
Oh.
But if anyone's listening and they have any Sherlock Holmes recommendations, definitely throw them my way, because I would probably like to try it again at some point. Everything I read was mostly number 2 of this, number 4 of that, number 10 of that, so I won't grow into that. But we haven't talked a lot about board games recently, but I finally picked up a copy of Champions of Midgard last weekend, and I was super excited because there's a lot of buzz about this game. Tom Vazel from Dice Tower is real high on it, and so on and so forth. Lori at the comic shop that I frequent said that she's had a hard time getting it, and when she does get it, she's a hard time keeping it in stock because there's a big demand for it. So last weekend, I saw it, grabbed it right away, played it last night, and I don't know. I liked it, but I'm still kind of feeling Lords of Waterdeep
over it,
though.
It didn't set your pants on fire?
It's just like the first run through any game, you know? You pick up on most things, you miss a few things, you do a few things incorrect, but the more you play it, the more you are familiar with it, and the better it gets.
I think it will get better, but I feel like, by way of comparison, like Lords of Waterdeep, I loved it instantly. Whereas this game,
it's a little more simplistic, though.
Some people seem to think differently. I just kind of felt like I like the differences. The one thing that stood out to me was the cards, which I have all sleeved since, are super flimsy, and that's a super huge bummer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be like, I don't want to sound like the old man of board games here, but like, if I'm dishing out $50-$60 for a board game, like, I don't expect paper thin components. Like, I expect some quality stuff. Not to, you know, I mean, that's a lot of money to be dishing out for a board game. You know what I'm saying?
Word. No, I like the cards. I just felt like when they started bowing in the middle, going top to bottom, I'm like, what the heck? I didn't shuffle them this way. I mean, if I shuffled them that way and they turned out that way, that's my fault. I just was very disappointed in that aspect. So other than that, we'll give it a few more runs and see what happens. But, so far, it's not living up to the hype for me. It's a good game, though. Just not living up to the crazy hype that's surrounding it right now.
Yet. A lot of that stuff, too, is also based on, you know, more than two players.
Could be.
Which we don't always have.
True enough.
Hey, what's up? I actually read quite a bit. I started Lock and Key and finished Lock and Key.
Yeah, that's fairly impressive. Was there like six trades?
Six or seven, yeah.
There's, hold on.
Probably like 50 issues.
Welcome to, there's 30, it's like 30 something. Because there's Welcome to Lovecraft, there's six there. Head Games! Crown of Shadows, Keys to the Kingdom, Clockworks. So that's 30 right there. And after Clockworks is Omega, there's 5. And then Alpha, 2 more. So 37.
36.
37. 30 plus 5, because there's 5 in Omega, 5 singles in Omega. So that's 35. And then 2 more for Alpha, 37. Read it.
Someone who had no idea what this was a week ago, you're pretty informed. I'm impressed.
Well, because Brian put it out, I didn't know anything about it. And I was like, how the hell does this thing go under my radar? I'm like, to find out it came out like 2008, so I just, I don't know. The artwork, I think, was one of the things that grabbed me to it. So I was like, I just got to have it. I got to have it. I got to read it. That's all I read. I just read Lock and Key. And it's awesome. I totally recommend it. Yeah, it's a really good story. It's a really good story. I liked it quite a bit. I also read, you know, like Ryan said, I just got caught up on things because like Starve just came back with issue 6. Awesome. Bitch Planet 7. Awesome. Low 11. Awesome.
I feel like Low should be a lot farther. I feel like you've been talking about that thing since like day one.
Low is good. Low is really good.
Is it high Postal, on your list?
If my favorites right now on Image are The Violent, Low. Well, Low's been my favorite. Starve and Postal are all excellent. Are the ones that stand out to me the most.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm pretty much, I'm kind of digging The Violent.
I like that one a lot. Issue 3 should be coming out pretty soon, but
sweet, I'm all caught up then.
Lock and Key is, for anyone who doesn't know, is written by Stephen King's son, Joe Hill. It's his pen name, so I mean, right there, you know, pretty good credentials.
Well, I mean, I'm not, you know, no offense to Stephen King and fans of Stephen King, but
Lock and Key is a very good horror supernatural.
Yeah, I mean, I've read a little bit of Stephen King. I've read a little Joe Hill, and I have to say I prefer the latter.
Yeah.
You know?
I would say so, too.
Maybe it's just because he's more modern. He's probably more our age. He's more into...
That's whatever, one of the things, you know? I liked about it. I mean, it was definitely for mature readers, but it didn't... Like, okay, since we've all read the beginning of it, obviously, when those when the Locke family's attacked, has that home invasion, obviously the mother is assaulted, but didn't have to go... He didn't show it, you know? It's already kind of presumed, which is kind of how I like it. I don't need to see, you know?
Right, yeah.
You know, scenes of rape or anything like that, so I... That's one of the things I liked about that. He didn't have to show it. It was already implied. You already knew it.
What was the graphic novel series that Stephen King did? Dark Tower?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, when that first came out, I'm not going to lie, I was a little excited, so I picked up the first. I couldn't even finish the first trade. It was so bad.
It was just...
I know people love it.
It was a graphic novel adaptation of the book. By Marvel.
I'm sure there are books that don't translate well to graphic novels, and vice versa. Just like
a lot of people.
So what you're saying
it.
Is Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal would not make a good trade paperback.
It all depends on the artist. He's got to get that hair right.
Who draws good hair?
All right, we're not going to discuss.
Dan Parent from Archie. I have no
sure.
idea.
But yeah, definitely, it was awesome. I loved it. A lot of twists and turns. A lot of unexpected things that. You know, you wouldn't expect to happen in there, and the story ended on what I would call a good note.
Well, seeing as though you're also the chooser of the number one for the week, why don't you bring us on into our number one week, which was...
American Monster. American Monster by Brian Azzarello and John Doe.
John. Don't want to offend the man.
Okay, whatever. It's kind of hard to believe that someone with the last name of Doe has a first name of Juan.
I thought you guys were screwing with me at first, but, you know, it's true. So, you want to bring us in?
It'd be like someone being named, hi, my name is Trent Gonzalez.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I don't know what's the problem.
Whatever, anyways. So... Here we are again with another Aftershock title. What would this be? Like our number...
I think it's our third.
Yeah, because Replicant and...
Replica,
Sextants.
Insects.
And then American Monster. And I have to admit that I was a little reluctant to pick this up because it was Brian Azzarello. And as of late, his track record hasn't been all that great, I would say. Would you agree or disagree?
Start naming some of his other stuff.
Well, besides 100 Bullets.
I never read it.
Spaceman.
I'm going to reread 100 Bullets again because I want to make sure that I didn't just phase out the end myself. Because those first like 7 or 8 trades are so good.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. The first 60, 70 issues of 100 Bullets was fucking awesome.
And his Batman stuff, like Broken City... And Flashpoint Paradox Batman, which ended up in the trade Batman Noir, was also really good. And I remember back when he was writing First Wave with Doc Savage and The Spirit, that was pretty good as well. And I actually don't hate Spaceman. I don't love it, but I didn't hate it.
I don't love it.
And I'm going to reread it again. But I don't know what it is. Like, there has been something missing in his writing for me for a little bit, for sure.
Well, this one, I actually like. I think it's kind of, he's kind of coming back to his, for me at least, to his writing style like he did in 100 Bullets. I like how the whole comic is just like blood red. Just about all the way through. It's like a crime noir mixed with Born on the 4th of July. Because it's about a vet. It's a disfigured vet who's back home. And that's pretty much the gist of it so far. He's just back home and he's...
Very salty.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, rightfully so. I mean, he's disfigured. So, you know, he's one part in the comic book. Someone's like, here, let me get that for you. He's like, you know, he goes, blow me. He's like, what? I'm just trying to. He's like, dude, I was in Iraq, or, you know, look at my face. Do you think I need your charity? He goes, blow me. He's definitely pissed, and rightfully so. I mean, it's disfigured, but I like this book. I like, you don't quite know where it's going, but I like the plot so far. I want to see how, like, what it has to do with him.
Yeah, because, I mean, it opens.
And I'm not trying to give away the book, and I don't, like, I'm trying to change up my reviews here, because I don't want to, like, sit here and review, well, you know, this and this and this happened, because I'm basically just telling everybody the damn book.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to go into huge detail here, but it opens up with.
But it's definitely not written like Spaceman. If you guys read Spaceman, and you know how, like, it was, like, written, like, this, like, street language kind of, you know, like, yo, 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 kind of, like, you know, or whatever. I mean, I found that, like, a headache in itself to read. This is not. This is just. It's nothing like that. But I liked it for a first issue. I like where it's going. I want to see how the crime that took place and how he. I want to see how this is all going to cross paths with each other. But I liked it. I liked how everything was pretty much just different shades of red. It's like this blood red. Because it's pretty gritty. I mean, you know, like, you got another home invasion. You got a home invasion going on right in the beginning, and, you know, the wife just totally gets her face rearranged.
Yeah.
So, and I like his writing. It reminds me more of 100 Bullets. It's not, like I said, it's not like Spaceman, where it's like, you know, like, everyone's kind of like talking, you know, like slang. And it's like, when you're reading Spaceman, it's like, dude, I'm like, come on, you're giving me a headache.
Spaceman, I think, was written that way. It was supposed to represent, as society breaks down, the language breaks down,
right,
as well.
Right.
That it wasn't like street lingo for the sake of trying to be this, that, or the other. He was essentially saying, as society just splinters off, and, like, the gap between the rich and poor gets wider and wider, and society walls itself off from one another, through the generations, language is going to deteriorate.
Well, right.
That's kind of what he was doing with that. So once I realized that, it made me go, oh, you know what? This actually is interesting to me now, because he's not just going and talking, you know, in broken words just
that.
To do it. He was trying to illustrate something bigger, which I kind of appreciated. But anyway, that's Spaceman. I'll talk about that some other time. I actually thought this was kind of like Frankenstein meets a Coen Brothers movie. And I don't mean like Hail Caesar or Burn After Reading. I was thinking more like The Man Who Wasn't There. Not really The Man Who Wasn't There. No Country for Old Men,
right,
or,
yeah,
Fargo.
I get that. Yeah,
a lot of wide open space. It wasn't like everything was more wide open and kind of desolate in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't compressed, or it wasn't urban in the sense where, like, it was in a city atmosphere. It was in, like, a small town just outside of a prairie or a desert or some kind of open rural type area where it's easy to hide a body, just for sake of example. It kind of dispels the myth of the small American town being where all the good, wholesome people are. It kind of threw out the idea that, yeah, small towns and open spaces and a lot of, you know, open land are places where a lot of weird things can happen, i.e. the guy in the park, for example, which I'll just let the readers figure out when they go ahead and take a look at this book.
Oh.
That part was about
Seesaw Man?
Yeah, that was really just
weird.
Wow.
Forgot all about that part.
I can't get that out of my head. I was just like, I don't know if this is necessary or what.
Wasn't it the same guy from the store, though?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think it was.
I think it was.
It was him.
You're talking about the guy with the mental disability? Yeah.
Yes, it was.
All right. I don't know.
No, it is him. It is him.
If you say so.
But there's a line that he says in there that intrigued me. He's like, I can get more money.
I suppose we'll find out in later issues. I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, I just kind of got that whole like modern Western vibe from this, if there could be such a thing. Because like I said, small town, a lot of weird drifters coming in and out, a lot of seedy types hanging around the fringes. And then there's the whole thing with the husband and wife and the two miscreants who have a little bit of revenge on their minds. And it's like we're at the moment, it's like two separate narratives kind of existing side by side.
Right. You get the veteran, his story, and then you have.
And then you have these two guys.
A deal gone bad.
Yeah. And it definitely has. And you could tell if you've read any other Brian Azzarello's books, such as like Loveless or Brother Lano. He is super heavily influenced by Sam Peckinpah. If you've ever seen movies like The Getaway or Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia, it's got that Peckinpah vibe all over it. I mean, you could just tell Brian Azzarello's very heavily influenced by Sam Peckinpah. I happen to like Sam Peckinpah myself because he was kind of that guy back in the 70s on the set of a movie chain-smoking Marlboro Reds and screaming at everybody, so... I'm kind of into that stuff. this comic felt like the storyboards to a Sam Peckinpah movie to me.
Well, I'm going based on, as of recently, what he's put out, comparing it to American Monster. I think this is probably his strongest effort recently, or at least one of his better outputs as of recent.
Well, Scott started to say what he was into or not into about it, but what were your thoughts?
I mean, obviously there's a couple of stories going on here, and they in no way do they start to come together in this book, so kind of interesting to see how they're going to tie this all together. That was basically all I was going to go into the whole couple thing with the break-in, but you guys covered it already. But, I totally, like, when you first read it, apparently you...
I did not like it the first read.
Yeah, you basically, you told me, like, yeah, get ready for a terrible book. And I read it this morning, and I was like, yeah, I kind of liked it. Like you said, like, with the artwork is really just solid.
Phenomenal.
The weird disfigured veteran who's just a total ass to everybody is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, the artwork's really good because you can actually tell who's who, and you don't have to like wonder and like, hey, who is actually saying this?
Yeah, like one of the things you were talking about was the way it was written. But when I was reading, I'm like, that's kind of exactly how those type of people would talk. So I mean, I know you've since read it a second time and you've changed your views, but
well, like I said, I read it and I was falling asleep, but I was falling asleep going, God, this book is horrid. And then like the next day, I woke up and I'm like, I have a feeling I should reread this. I don't know why, but I'm gonna sit down and reread it Saturday because I want to read it closer to when we record so I can have a better understanding of what I'm going to say, good or bad or other. So when I read it this morning, I started hearing the characters' voices in my head, and I started to pick up the Peckinpah vibe, which is pretty prominent in a lot of Brian Azzarello's books. Anyway, I mean, like I saw some of the blurbs like, oh, if you like Tarantino, I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting Tarantino from this because Tarantino's dialogue is very, you know, it's very highly detailed and a lot of adjectives and a lot of long, you know, speeches and so on. Whereas this is like spurts of some dialogue mixed with a lot of silence and weird, awkward scenes. And I was like, this is way more Peckinpah to me, or even Coen Brothers than Tarantino. It's not even close to Tarantino at all. Maybe like just tonally, but not at all Tarantino-esque. It's exactly the opposite. It's very minimalist.
I can agree with that, yeah. I'd say we're just about ready to number this at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we let you start over there?
I'm gonna go with a 7.5.
I actually agree with that. I think it's a good
effort. As like I said, as of recently, there hasn't been too many things that he's done that I like, but this one actually is redeeming. He's redeeming himself to me. I enjoyed it quite a bit, and I excuse me, it gave me enough that I wanted to find out how this story plays out.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably a little weird coming from me, because usually, like, when first issues literally give you nothing to go on, like, it kind of irks me a little bit. And this one has two very different stories going on together, and they don't come together whatsoever in this book, but it's done in such a way that it's like,
you know, they are.
They hook you with the individual stories in themselves instead of trying to, you know, tie them together at all, you know, so they don't even try and give you that, like, this is how it's going to possibly happen. They just go, yeah, here's this happening, and then there's this happening.
And maybe they're related, maybe they're not.
Right. And they're, you know, and they're both super interesting stories. So, yeah, I mean, I'm totally on board with this thing. I'm going to probably end up boxing it.
I mean, at least going to go a couple more in. Again, at first I was kind of like, oh, this again. But then when I read it, the second time, when I was more awake and aware and let it sink in more, I love the concept of just shattering the myth of small town America, where everybody is good to each other and everyone is righteous and God fearing and waving American flags,
and nothing happens.
And it's like, it shatters that myth and kind of reminds you that small town America is the perfect place for criminals to hide out, because no one's looking for them there.
Yep.
Perfect place to hide your money or hide a body. So I'm at a 7 right now, but I mean, I could see it going higher.
Yeah.
It's definitely, as of recent, one of his better ones, as of recent. Not saying his best, what he's done, it's his strongest so far, I think.
When you consider that his current Dark Knight Returns is a way more high profile project, and so far has been, in my eyes, kind of underwhelming, this is a lot better.
Yeah. No, I agree. So there you have it, American Monster on Aftershock. You should probably check it out. It's pretty decent. So, apparently, for all you nerds out there who are aware of such things as, I don't know, Free Comic Book Day, apparently there has been a new record set for orders for Free Comic Book Day. And I have to admit, I'm absolutely not surprised, with pretty much every store in my area having all recently relocated to bigger stores in the last year or two, and other shops that, you know, a couple of nerds opened up a store just because, you know, they wanted something else to do with their time outside of their regular jobs, and have since quit their regular jobs and opened two more stores. I mean, comics are kind of a huge deal right now. Of course, a lot of that has to do, I believe, with the movies and the TV shows and the Netflix.
I was waiting for you to say our podcast.
Oh, I mean, well, that's definitely top of the list. I mean, we're blowing up, son. But, you know, I mean, I'm not surprised that...
And that's going to be the decline of our popularity, as people say, wow, these guys have become egomaniacs.
Yeah, right. No, and...
So I retract that statement. We're very humble and appreciative of everybody who listens.
And I don't want to, like, sound like a complete ignoramus over here. I don't know how long Free Comic Book Day has been a thing. I know it's been quite a while.
It's the 15-year anniversary.
There you go. Okay. So it was slightly longer than I thought. But I'm totally not surprised that they've set a record, because they probably started it 15 years ago, because comic books were probably nearing an all-time low.
Yeah.
And this was trying to get... Because, I mean, just even a couple of years ago, I mean, it's always a huge event at the store we frequent, but I mean, they had 5 or 6 people out there, you know, dressed as Hawkman, this guy's dressed as Spider-Man, this guy's dressed as, you know, Batman, and they, you know, they hire all these people for the day to come and try and promote and stand out on the street with signs, and, you know, it's always a huge deal. But yeah, I'm not surprised that there's a record amount of orders for it.
I'm not either. Truthfully, I go mostly for the sales, not for the free comics at this point. When I first started really heavily getting into comics, I was going for the free comics because I was trying to, you know, get a little bit of a gauge on what was worth reading and what wasn't. But now I'm pretty well versed in what I like and what I don't.
Well, no, I mean, I mainly go, and the free stuff I do look at, I look at for my nephews because they're not there and they like free. And if it, at least if it's free.
Yeah, this is more based towards kids, I would say.
It doesn't matter if they ruin it because I didn't spend any money on it.
Well, I think we could probably coerce them into coming this year.
No, I don't think you need to coerce anybody. I'm sure they'll be more than happy to go. But bottom line is, I agree. You know, you go for the deals, you grab some books for the kids, and then, you know, you look at some of the hot moms that show up with their kids.
Yeah,
wow. We're really just going for moms.
Yeah, right.
That sounds super creepy.
Mom action. Hot mom action.
You got any thoughts on Free Comic Book Day down there?
I just thought we could run through some of these titles and see what's interesting.
You know, next on the list.
I can only say that We Can Never Go Home is probably the only thing interesting on there.
We go in order.
I pretty much disagree with that statement, but I'm also going to go the route of not going in order and saying, dude, is it enough? Can we have enough of this grumpy cat shit? Why is this still a
thing? Every time I see grumpy cat, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is him.
You know what I read? I don't know how true this is. I forget who's doing the grumpy cat comics. Is it IDW?
It's Dynamite.
It's Dynamite. I swear to God, and I don't know where I read this recently.
I bought the issue one, just so you know.
You're a dork.
And that was it. Because I had to see it. I had to see what it was about.
I don't know, probably a grumpy cat.
I can't believe some lady's a millionaire because her cat's ugly. That's so annoying. Anyway, I read somewhere that Grumpy Cat is the best-selling book that Dynamite's ever put out.
That's terrible.
It's super creepy.
That's a real thing, that's terrible.
That is super creepy. But
I can see kids being into it.
I can't see anybody being into it. I don't understand. I don't understand it. I could say I understand to a certain degree many things that I think are silly or weird or pointless. But the grumpy cat phenomenon, I am completely just lost entirely on. I have no idea why that's a thing.
So you want to like go through every single one?
No, just the notable,
The notables like Archie number one.
Well, the reason why I think that Archie number one is notable is because I have been thoroughly into, and I recognize what it is, but I've been thoroughly into the rebranding of Archie Comics.
I agree,
and I don't know that it's gotten quite the notoriety that it should. So
how is it not? It's going to be a show on the CW.
I'm just saying, I don't think in terms of sales, I don't think people are grabbing it left and right like they would like a new Batman title or a new Walking Dead. So I don't know. I think this is an opportunity for somebody to check it out without having to pay for it. And maybe they'll go, oh my God, this actually isn't bad. Maybe I'll grab the trade or I'll go back and get the back issues.
Yeah, I think for people who didn't grow up on Archie, they're probably not chomping at the bit to check it out, but like you said, yeah, with a free issue right in your face, how could you not?
It's good nostalgia. Well,
yeah, it's been revamped though for a new generation.
Oh yeah, I mean they sparkle, they have fangs now. Revamped, get it?
Yeah,
I get it.
You're just hitting duds left and right.
You're
today.
A dud. I'll hit you.
Good.
Hit
my wiener.
Is there anything else on this list that's standing out for you?
Your mom,
Doctor Who. Enough with that. The Doctor Who one, just because I've never really read Doctor Who comics.
So how about Bruce Lee?
We're not there yet. Settle down.
Sorry.
The Doctor Who one.
I don't know. Like I've read a couple of Doctor Who books. I've watched all of the newest Doctor Who's. Obviously.
I have a question though.
Yes.
Why doesn't Image partake in this?
They are Camp Midnight is an Image book.
Oh.
Image usually showcases the more their kiddie titles for Free Comic Book Day because I think their adult titles don't really need the publicity at this point because they sell fairly well, I think.
Yeah.
Unless it's God Hates Astronauts because that thing was a dud.
So, yeah, back to
sales.
The
you could say that again.
Well,
did you read that too?
No, I didn't read it, but sales-wise, I know it didn't do super good. I'm curious to read the Assassin's Creed book because I've never read an Assassin's Creed comic, and I'd never think to buy one because I don't really know that I would like video game comics. But
yeah, I'm like looking.
They make a lot of them now, so maybe they have to be decent.
I wouldn't even waste my time to like go to the store to pick it up for free.
Well, then stay home and be an old grump. Grumpy old
grump. I'm not being
grump.
Grumpy, I'm just saying.
Grumpy old man over here. Boo.
I feel like some of these are the same books that they had on the table last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of them are. Like, the Serenity one is just another Dark Horse.
Suicide Squad, I think, has been there for, like, 3 years running.
Yeah. And if you're to answer your question from earlier, no, I'm not remotely interested in the Bruce Lee comic. I am interested in Grant Morrison's Avatar X, because I believe that will be on Legendary, and he did that book Annihilator on Legendary, which I wanted to read. It's Graphic India. Oh, maybe I'm not as interested now. Let me see. Where else? Lady Mechanica. I'd like to check that out. The March Trilogy is something I would be interested in.
Yeah, that Lady Mechanica already.
Oddly Normal, something I would be interested in checking out.
Yeah, it's on Image.
The Phantom 80th anniversary? Probably not. Never mind. Sanjay and Craig, I would definitely read that before giving it to the nephews because I love the show.
Strawberry Shortcake?
No.
Yes, you would.
I'm
surprised you're not saying The Tick.
I picked up a few others in the past and they weren't very great. But
well, it looks like Joe will come out to get Street Fighter V, though.
He might. I'm going to agree with you. The We Can Never Go Home, Young Terrorists, free comic book day edition. I'll at least flip through it to see if it's new stuff or just rehashing the previous comics. The one that always sticks out to me every year is World of Aspen.
I hate it.
Why?
Because
I can't stand it.
I've bought a lot of Aspen comics in the past, and I feel like they just never come out. Every year they put out this, what's coming out, and then none of it ever comes out.
That's exactly why I'm...
It's super annoying, because the couple that I've purchased
Sounds like another company.
Yeah, like I used to... I was kind of into the ones I was reading, and then they just stopped.
Like Executive Assistant Iris?
Those were pretty good. Fathom was another one I was reading.
Lady Mechanica used to be on Aspen.
That's probably why it stopped coming out.
Yeah,
really. I mean, I like Aspen. I like the stuff they're doing.
What should we call it? The guy has it on his own. Joe Bluth. Joe Benitez. Is that how you say it?
I think so. Every year I always see the World of Aspen sampler, and I'm always like, here's 8 comics that aren't going to be coming out ever.
Yeah, it's depressing.
It's not even depressing. It's like I've read some of the like samples, and I'm always like, yeah, it looks all right, but like nothing I'm going to like cartwheel down a hill for, and then.
Yeah.
And I never see any of it.
We should have talked about what Image is going to be coming out with this coming months, because that's a lot more interesting.
Sure.
It won't be at Free Comic Book Day, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's
won't
true.
Be at Free Comic Book Day. But yeah, I always look forward to it. It's like just a day to just. It's an excuse to hit up a couple stores and get some deals. And lately, the last couple of years, Barnes & Noble and Free Comic Book Day. Barnes & Noble and Half Price Books have had somewhat of a participatory angle as well. They always do some kind of weird pop culture event that day in commemoration, so we'll see if they do it again this year.
Oh, I'm sure they will, especially if the orders are bigger than ever. It's probably because they're ordering a bunch of stuff, too.
Hey, whatever. I like free stuff.
Nice, nice, nice. Okay, so... why don't you run down this DC Rebirth, since you can't learn how to post a link correctly.
Yeah. So, when DC rebranded with the new 52, they decided to start everything over from number ones, and they, according to lifelong readers, ignored canon and started with all these weird new storylines and angles on their characters, and they ignored the history and so on and so forth. Well, that initiative wasn't as successful as they hoped, and they came up with all these events.
But like, didn't Batman do really well?
Batman always does really well. But Green Lantern did just okay.
What about Animal Man and Swamp Thing?
Nope.
Really?
Both those books got canceled after a bit. I mean, they made it into like the
20s. I know Demon Knights didn't even make it up to 10.
No, Animal Man and Swamp Thing made it into like the late 20s, early 30s, but beyond that, it just kind of fizzled and died. I think the big mistake, they're like, we're going to relaunch single books for every character we've got every month. It's going to be awesome. It was just too... I know when they came out with it, I was kind of interested, kind of excited, and kind of like, why not just keep doing what you're doing? And then after a while, I was like, it was too much to keep up with. Like, I was interested in a lot of the books, but I was like, man, they're already on number 5 of that. Forget that. There's 75 Batman books alone. I can't get them all. 25 Superman books, can't get all those, can't get all the Green Lantern books they've got. It just got too much too quick, and it was like,
yeah,
just...
And then Marvel followed suit not too long after then, right?
Well, Marvel's doing their all new, all different Marvel initiative, and it's actually doing really well from what I read. Like the weird books like The Visions and Scarlet Witch, like I think those are kind of helping to
broaden Moon Knight's coming back.
Yeah, I think it's just helping to broaden their thing. So, like, DC came up with the DCU thing where they were going to have three tiers. They were going to have the regular continuity, then they were going to have, like, offshoot stories, and then they were going to have, like, weird one-off miniseries. And it was an interesting idea that they barely put any effort into, except what they did do, in my opinion, like books like Black Canary and DC Bombshells, The Omega Men, and Prez. I don't think they sold really well, but they got a lot of like high praise for being different, and DC finally taking some chances. So now their whole thing is, we're going to rebirth the entire line back to where it was, pre-New 52. We're going back to long strands of continuity and so crossover titles and events. The New 52,
you can dump those in the garbage.
It's just like when I read it and they're like, oh, the only two books that are not going to be changing are Action Comics and Detective Comics. Everything else is going to be rebooted with a new number one. We're starting the whole universe over again. We're going to bring back the legacy that made all these characters great, and we're going to do blah, blah, blah. And I remember like listening to the...
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you have a new crop of a new generation, you know, that's going to come...
I don't disagree.
And read those books, so it's...
I don't entirely disagree, but I just feel like, why do you have to announce that you're rebooting everything? Like, why not just...
Reboot some things?
Why not just...
Yeah, take it one at a time. You don't have to do them all at once.
Right, it's like they're launching like 40, and they're going to do them bi-monthly now.
Well...
You're not going to get Batman number 1 in November and Batman number 2 in December. You're going to get Batman number 1 this week and then 2 weeks from now, number 2.
Well, they probably do it just in case they have like any crossovers within, I would assume.
I just feel like less is more.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more buzz going into the next arc of Pretty Deadly because you have to wait like 4 months. Like... Oh, man, Better Call Saul was amazing. Now I got to wait 9 months for it to come back. So when the buildup of, like, hey, Better Call Saul, season 2 starts soon, everyone gets pumped because they're like, oh, man, I feel like it's been so long. And then you jump right back in, and it's like, oh, hell yeah, what's back, and this is great. And
yeah, and the second arc of Pretty Deadly has
I feel like
really
DC
good.
Is like, we're going to hit you with a giant tsunami that can level a city of the same stuff you remember from 30 years ago, and I'm like, dude.
Well, that's wrong marketing. If I would market that towards fucking kids that haven't read any of that stuff.
The diversification of stories, characters, comics, and writers and artists is what's succeeding. It's not.
But I can see you saying how it would get overwhelming, though.
It's super overwhelming. How do you expect me to follow 8 Batman storylines and then a bunch of sub-Batman character storylines all at the same time when there's like a overwhelming amount of indie books that are fantastic right now that are grabbing my attention left and right, like with books like American Monster, we just talked about that,
right?
Super Zero, I'm just talking about books on Aftershock now. Super Zero by Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, Insects by Marguerite Bennett, all the stuff on Image, the stuff on Boom, the stuff on Dynamite, all these books that are coming out that you don't have to like commit 3 years of your life and like a pint of blood to. You're like, hey, it's 6-issue miniseries. I'm in, I'm out. Story was good. Maybe they'll revisit the characters later. Maybe they won't.
And see, that's what I think kind of turns me off from superheroes. I don't hate superheroes. Obviously, I like superheroes because that's how I got into comics, was from that. But
Batman is awesome, but I...
Yeah, I will never disagree with you with that, and I will fight anyone that says otherwise. Batman is awesome.
And
Hands down, he's probably the best character.
And I love Superman, but I don't need 86 books.
Well, I never understood having the whole Batman and then having Detective Comics, and then with Superman, then you got Action Comics. It's like, why are those two separate?
Don't forget that on top of that, you have, for Batman, you have Detective Comics, and then you have like 9 other Batman books. You got Batman and
you know, you have his involvement with Justice League, and then you have
You already have 9 or 10 different Batman books. Why not just let him finish out and then you write something? For
I agree with you with
issues.
That. I've never quite understood that. I've never understood that. I don't understand why they just don't stick to Batman. Leave it at Batman.
And then just the endless continuity that never ever ends. And then, well, Batman's 59 now, so how do we get him to be 32 again? Oh, we need a time portal, and we need an event, so we're going to come up with this new event that's actually a reboot of an event we did 30 years ago, so we can put everybody through the time warp, and then Earth 2 is going to shift into Earth minus 0, and an Earth A, B plus
is going to fold into that,
and now we basically restart everything.
Marvel, with their Secret Wars, it's like, they give you that postcard, it's like, yeah, to follow Secret Wars, you need to get issue Daredevil 4, Spider-Man 15,
maybe,
Wolverine 25, and then it's like, dude, what the fuck?
Maybe it's the new... The thing that turned me off to collecting comics when I was little was I go into the rack at 7-Eleven, and they're already on Batman 459. I'm like, I've missed 458 issues of this. Like, how am I even going to jump in now? And I always thought the characters were awesome. The books looked amazing, and I just never felt I had a spot to jump in. Now they're giving you all these spots to jump in, but they also keep starting things over again. It's like, oh my god, we've made this overly complex. Let's simplify it again by starting over. And then they start over, and then they make it overly complex again, and then they start it over again.
Well, yeah, Marvel's doing the same thing. They did that with All New Hawkeye with Jeff Lemire.
That's been a pretty good book.
I'm not saying that it's not, but I'm saying he started it, right? And then they started back at one again.
It's a continuation, but it's also not. It's the first
arc. But that's what gets confusing, even for like my 41-year-old ass.
Well, the first one was, you know, them, and they were fighting, help me out, Hydra, and they got those kids, and next thing you know, it stops, and then number one comes out again, and it's like 20 years later. So now, instead of having flashbacks to when he's a kid, you have flashbacks to what would have happened at the end of those other books.
Yeah, see, I get more confused when Marvel does
it. I
like
the way they did that, actually.
Than like if Image does it, or
see, this is the sort
IDW.
This is the sort of thing that makes great arguments for trades, is like, you don't have to hunt down all the single issues of all these different sub-stories to piece it together. You can just buy the hardcover that has everything and get it all in order and go, okay, that was a good story. The story made sense when it was assembled that way. And maybe that's the newbie in me talking, but I don't know. I don't have the time and the money and the wherewithal to keep all... Well, in Green Lantern 57, this character flies in and eats a hot dog and it changed the timeline.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw this Rebirth thing, I'm like, you just started DCU like 8 months ago.
Yeah, they
why
Marvel
again?
And DC need
why?
To simplify their
line, expand, and start making. It's going to sound bad or whatever. Start shoving Animal Man down people's throats. That's a great character. That was a great book.
I still got to read that Grant Morrison
Swamp
run
Thing.
Of it.
Bring back Doom Patrol. Make some new things up. Art Ops has been terrific. Keep that going. Hey, Art Ops is pretty good. Art Ops is a highly underrated book.
I got the first 2 issues. I got to go back and get the others.
If you're a fan of art, Art Ops was very good.
I am a fan of art, and I disagree with that message.
All right, fine. We won't talk about this now because I'm very upset. No, I'm kidding.
All right, so before we just ramble on here about DC the rest of the day, let's get into our over-under, which is overrated and underrated DC books. What?
Oh, DC series is New 52 to current.
Yes, correct.
So
we're going to switch it up again, too, and I'm going to pass it overrated to Brian.
I.e. Scott has nothing.
I stared at their list of stuff all day long. So
great. My overrated was Aquaman.
Did you read it?
That's just it. Aquaman gets ripped on constantly to the point where it was almost like people ripping on him was comical because I was like, he can't be that bad of a character. The little bits I know of Aquaman, he actually is a pretty awesome character. I'm going to just go ahead and say that right now. He's pretty good. So when the Geoff Johns reboot, New 52 era Aquaman came out, a lot of people were going, this is one of the best books that DC has. And weird, no one's buying it because it's not Batman, it's not Superman. Okay. So when the trade came out, I bought it, and artwork, amazing. Character of Arthur Curry, also pretty awesome. Story, I don't know what. I didn't love it. I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's like a really good idea, but executed in a mediocre sort of way. And I was kind of like, I don't know why people love this so much. It's just okay.
Sweet. Chris?
I'm going to say the overrated for me, and I'm only going to say it's overrated because when I got the first issue of it, it was kind of a letdown, but I did go a couple more issues into it, and it got better, but I stopped with like 6 or 7, and it's Grayson.
I keep hearing that's really good, but yeah, I did the same thing. I got three issues in, and yeah. I was like, nah, whatever.
It did get good after the first one, because I read the first issue, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, okay, wow. This was really action-packed.
Yeah, I was pretty not into it.
Yeah, and again, I don't really know if I can just pick an overrated because I don't know every single thing that DC has, and nothing that I've read has been like, ugh, that's terrible.
It doesn't have to be
and
terrible.
That was by Tim Seeley.
Not so much terrible, but something that people think is popular. And right now, I think the only things that are super popular are the Batman and the Superman. And you have, you know, 30 different books for each character, but then, like you said, Aquaman has one book. You know, everyone else has one book, but there's always 800 Batman stories and another 900 Superman stories. Maybe those two are overrated. You should cut down. You have a whole array of characters. Focus on somebody else for a change.
Yeah, when they started the new 52, they had Batwoman and Batgirl. What's the fucking difference?
Batwoman is Kate Kane, and Batgirl is Barbara Gordon.
Okay,
yeah, duh.
Hey. Both of those books were fantastic, and again,
because and you're just saying that because Gail Simone wrote one of those.
Gail Simone wrote the original Batgirl, yes. However,
and you love her.
That said, those were two books. Not anyone was really buying them. And Catwoman was also great.
Who's the one that did Bat? Who's the one that did Batwoman? That wrote Batwoman.
I think J.H. Williams.
I know that artwork was fantastic in there.
Batwoman series was really... He left the book because Kate Kane is LGBT, and he wanted her to get married to her girlfriend in the book, and DC said no, and then they came up with some stupid reason why, because, oh, kids will get upset, and we can't blah, 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 and...
I would not get upset
J.H. Williams
Batwoman
pretty much said...
out some other chick.
What?
Never mind. Keep going.
J.H. Williams pretty much said, you know, DC's corporate people are getting too involved, and I'm not allowed to tell the story that I had in mind, so he walked away.
I do recall
and
that,
I would
though.
Have done the same.
Yeah, I mean...
And then DC backtracked with some cheesy excuse.
I pretty much agree. Like, if you're going to hire somebody to write a story for you, like, you got to give them the creative... You know, say so to do what they want to do and take that.
And that's another reason why I like some of the Marvel and DC stuff I just don't get into anymore because Marvel and DC have such a stranglehold on their characters.
Just like Ted Nugent.
They don't give really the writers any freedom. Like, I got that old man Logan. Jeff Lemire wrote it. He's like one of my favorites. That book is not.
Yeah, they got to let a storyteller tell their story for better or for worse.
Yeah. I mean, like we've said a million times, I mean, these are all fake characters. They're all fictional. They all have multiple background stories, multiple origins, multiple timelines. Let the guy go with it. It could turn out to be the most popular thing you ever did.
Yeah, if it's poorly received, just later on retrofit it as a Elseworlds story and say, oh, it happened on Earth Z.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta,
and just like redraw one issue where like Billy Dee Williams is president, and just be like, yeah, there you go.
Sometimes things have to come full circle, and you have to like reinvent it.
Yeah, or just have an event where Blue Beetle or have like, it sneezes look, or, and the timeline gets all messed
or, yeah,
up.
Or have someone look through it with someone with a different outlook or different perspective or through another set of eyes instead of the same set of eyes that it's been going through for the last 50, 60 years.
Yeah, Dan DiDio, what the hell?
Yeah.
Fucker.
Nailed wow. it.
I was just trying to, whatever.
Okay, so for underrated, I've actually got an honorable mention. And that's only because I've only read the number one so far. But the new Swamp Thing that they're doing is totally awesome. And everyone should read it. And it's underrated.
Sex.
My main pick for underrated, and this was actually kind of a tough one, but I went with Black Canary because I thoroughly enjoyed that whole thing. And I mean, obviously, I could have went the Bombshells route, but I feel like that's getting a lot of press.
It's getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah. And I feel like it's deserved because Bombshells, again, is one of my favorites. But so is Black Canary, but you don't really see anyone talking about it.
I think Black Canary is terrific.
I agree.
Artwork, obviously. Amazing. Story, amazing. Using music as her superpower as opposed to like, hoo-yah, huh, pow, punch, kick.
Yeah.
Awesome idea.
Yeah, no, I'm really digging what they're doing with Black Canary, and I hope that it ends well next month when they change everything back to number one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, DC's taking weird chances with books like that is actually making them amazing. And if they're going to reboot it all back to just straight superhero stories for everybody, come on, boo. Take some chances. That stuff is fun.
I agree. Especially when you've got like the name recognition and the money of DC. Yep. I mean, it's not like they don't have the money to take chances.
I agree. You could do both.
That's one of the best parts about being a huge, successful corporation. You can take those chances and write off the loss. Like,
yeah, whatever. Ask McDonald's and the McRib.
Are you kidding me, dude? I've seen people like murder their firstborn son for a McRib. It's ridiculous.
I killed my baby. Why did you take the McRib?
Are they
going to
bring the Shamrock Shake back? Or do they usually? They do?
Yeah, every
I think
year.
It's back now. I thought somebody posted it on Facebook.
They bring it
week.
Back every year for St. Patrick's Day because, you know, mint is totally, an Irish thing.
I like the Shamrock Shake.
Mint.
Mint your butt.
Oh, God. Why are we doing this? All right. My underrated, I just talked about a little bit ago, and that's Jeff Lemire's Ant-Man. No, I'm sorry, Animal Man.
I was going to say, what the hell are you talking about?
You just picked my underrated.
Well, I mean, it exists within the DC continuity, but it kind of doesn't because Animal Man is sort of a character that no one cares about in a lot of ways.
It was a Vertigo title first, wasn't it?
It was a DC title, and then it was a Vertigo title, and now it's a DC title again, and now it's actually not around because apparently,
I still got to read the Grant Morrison Animal Man.
Yep.
I hear that thing is king.
That's pretty much the gist that I've gotten, but I really liked Animal Man, and I'm disappointed to see that it's not being done right now, so whatever. But I highly recommend it, and I believe I had a short conversation with Damien about it, and he said he referred to it as super gross, but I think he meant that in a complimentary way, so yeah, I kind of agree. And it ties into Swamp Thing, which I'm a huge Swamp Thing guy, so Swamp Thing, Animal Man, do it all night. It could be like the rush hour of monster movies.
Into it. A buddy cop movie with Animal Man and Swamp Thing?
Yeah, and what's Animal Man's name? Buddy Baker. Oh my God, this is writing itself.
Get on it, people.
Sorry. I'm trying to think for underrated. I'm gonna have to go with
Red Lanterns.
No, I was gonna go
actually,
with
actually Red Lanterns was pretty awesome.
Well, I guess it's not really underrated, but I can't really pick anything because I don't. There wasn't anything I really read from New 52.
Doesn't have to be from New 52 necessarily.
Just so I'm going
New
with
52 to present.
I'm going with something that I. Oh jeez. Okay then.
Something from the last like 7 years.
I have still been meaning to read Scott Snyder's run of Batman.
Oh my god, that's wow.
Why?
Boo.
Why?
Because you should have read it already.
I know. Because I've heard that it is that good.
Don't feel bad, I haven't read it either.
And I know you've stroked Court of Owls quite a bit.
Yep. Love it. So much that I'm gonna get that owl mask fused onto my face.
And you can't really go wrong with Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo.
Even though Greg Capullo drew an album cover for Korn that I just found out about. Boo.
Well.
Did you say Boo Earns?
Boo Earns.
We all need money, so.
No, I don't begrudge him. They probably paid him, like, a house for it. They're like, here, have a mansion. He's like, fuck yeah, son. I'm going to break dance and listen to Slayer.
Just don't put my name on the cover of your CD as I'm the artist.
They can put my face on the cover if they bought me a house.
If they give me fucking $10 and a cheeseburger, they can put my face on the cover.
It'd just be the picture of you with a cheeseburger stuck to your face.
I know, right?
Not even eating it. It's just like slapped to the side of your face so hard that it's sticking and like sliding down. It's super slow motion. So
but I
want to
have an
hours.
Honorable mention, not as an underrated or an overrated, really, but when they started the New 52, Deathstroke, and they put Rob Liefeld in charge of it, and that thing went crashed and burned.
I did not even know that.
Yeah, it did.
I did not even read that.
Well, neither did anyone else, really. It didn't get very far. Huh. And that's another character that I like a lot from DC.
I agree, although I don't care much for Tony Daniels' current run on it.
I like Tony Danza's current run on it.
That's good.
Yeah,
where he gets Angela and
Deathstroke. Who's the boss?
I was just going to say, when Deathstroke goes to be a male nanny for a rich white lady. Great story.
So, speaking of awesome stuff, let's go to best thing ever. I am going to stick with...
I have nothing.
Last week I picked a comedian, so this week I will also pick a comedian. This morning I watched the new Hannibal Buress special, which on Netflix doesn't even have 3 full stars, and I don't get why. Like it's hilarious. There's definitely a couple of times that there was almost coffee all over the room as I almost spit it out of my fat face. There's some stuff that, like, you know, I mean, obviously, just like any other special, it has its, like, down moments, you know? But, like, Hannibal Buress is one of those comedians, like, he's not, like, sort of funny every now and then. Like, when he hits a joke, he hits a joke. Like, he just, there's no, like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. You need to see him. But I thoroughly enjoyed that special, and it is now going to be in the rotation for me.
Did he do gibberish rap?
No.
Oh, my God. I don't like it now.
Dude, he's been doing the gibberish rap for like 4 years.
He should just be the gibberish rapper. Be the best.
Dude.
I go to every show.
That did bother me about the special because he filmed it in Minnesota. Like, dude, you're from Chicago. Why wouldn't you film it here?
Because we want gibberish rap and he doesn't like us anymore? I don't know.
Yeah, but if you don't know, you got to get in the know.
Get in the know.
Hannibal Buress.
What do I got? I bought the Justice League Gods and Monsters animated movie last weekend, and it was pretty good. It's an alternate timeline where Superman is kind of a totalitarian psycho. Wonder Woman is a scorned lover, and Batman is a vampire.
I just want to throw this out. This isn't the pretty good thing ever. This is the best thing ever.
Yeah, for the week.
Yeah, and you said this thing was pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good, as in like the Larry David, pretty good, like pretty good. Like
okay. I'm okay with that.
I thoroughly love the DC Comics animated films. Although, if I was to issue a complaint, and I will, please do something beyond Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Batman, Superman, Batman, Superman, and Batman. How about the 4,000 other characters you have? Would it kill you to do a Blue Beetle animated movie just to do something that's not Batman, Superman?
That's what I've been screaming about DC for forever, dude. Look at their movies.
Love Batman, but oh my God, I love cheeseburgers. I love pizza, but if I ate it 3 times a day every day, not only would I weigh 1,000 pounds, I would get sick of pizza and cheeseburgers.
Yeah. Can you imagine if Marvel only stuck with the Beast Boy
Raven romantic comedy?
Anything.
Do that too.
I'm just saying, like, you have all these characters and you keep pimping the same three constantly. And it's like, I get it. There's a million classic Batman storylines, but you can't pull a Doom Patrol story out of your ass somewhere and make a decent animated movie from it. I beg to differ.
Right. Or let somebody write a new one.
Right. And even the Aquaman animated film is a Justice League film, and even then they need Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman to carry Aquaman through his own movie. It's like, do you guys trust your own characters at all? Because it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I haven't read a lot of Aquaman, and let me preface that by saying I haven't read any Aquaman. But the best thing about Aquaman is all the memes on the internet.
Is Aquaman.
Some of his memes are the best, or the little like nerdy comics, like the one where he's, you know, all pro global warming, because then, you know, everything will be his or whatever. But I was looking at one the other day, when it was like it's him talking to himself, like, "Oh, you all said I had no powers." And meanwhile, he's like summoning Cthulhu out of the water.
That's so good.
"You all said I was useless. Rise from the deep." And I was like, all right, that's pretty funny. Sorry.
Hey, a guy can control sharks. That's all I'm saying.
I got nothing against the guy. I just haven't
where Megalodon is then.
I haven't added it to my repertoire yet.
You could point Megalodon at Mitt Romney's house.
I feel like, what's the point of this?
Get him, Sheba!
Sheba.
That said, that Justice League Gods and Monsters is still really good.
Sweet. Well, all right, since Chris said he has nothing yet again.
No,
even,
I do.
Oh, I was so going to bust your chops.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Oh, Fantasy Flight card sleeves, also good.
Mm. This isn't the also good thing ever.
No, this is the best thing ever for this week is Lock and Key.
That's so about to bust your chops on.
After I finish it, I've actually been thinking about it throughout the day, like the whole story, like in the characters and stuff, and like what like actually transpired with it. So it wasn't a life changing impact, but it was a good story that I'm like,
it's one of those stories that sticks with you.
Yeah, it's actually stuck with me, so it's really good.
Just like Grumpy Cat number one.
Dude, you are fired. Dude, you know what? Screw that. We're going to do that on the show next. When my pick comes next, we're doing Grumpy Cat number one.
I sent you a text when that came out, and I said, that's his new comic book.
I remember that.
I have pneumonia that week.
That's right. We'll save it to your
No,
healthy.
Because the Grumpy Cat looks like you. You're like, ugh. But yeah.
Said,
Lock and Key. They have hardcovers. They have slipcover editions and all kinds of editions. Really good.
I agree. I concur. Well, there you have it. That's going to wrap us up for the week. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge. You can find Damien at Damien Johnston. He will be returning next week. What was his number one pick?
Snowfall.
So be prepared for that one next week. Also, if you have anything you want to add to our over-under or best things ever, feel free to head to our Facebook at facebook.com/thecomicroast.
And the thing that's happening next week that Brian doesn't want to say until it actually happens.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of neat. Until then, head to reviewandroast.com, check out our reviews, write your own reviews, or at the very least, go ahead and rate our, the movies and comics and books and TV shows and video games and board games that we have on there. That being said, have a good week.